Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, Yachts. Welcome to the podcast that comes after Slightly Civil War.
Hi, I haven't moved.
Neither have I. Well, I guess I adjusted my seat a little bit.
So, the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, which neither of us have or have played or used at all.
Right.
Although Nick keeps telling me he's working on it.
I believe
kind of need
that
one
he's
for
on
the
it.
Job.
Right.
Will be playing that Demon's Souls remake.
Gotta play it. So which do you think actually looks better?
Well, as my wife will tell you, I have very little aesthetic sense.
Okay.
I will say that I've preferred the look of the Xbox Series X just because when I'm making zero punctuation, it's a lot easier to find images, or I can use the magic wand to crop it out.
Sure.
Whereas if I Google a picture of the PlayStation 5, they're almost all white and bleeding into the white background, which means I have to get the little specific selector thing out and just guess at where the actual outline is.
You have to like use the manual mask tool. That's always
that's probably not a feature in place in Photoshop 6.
If you only had the new Photoshop, it has a much better selection tool. But I will agree with you, though, with my own taste. I prefer the very simple, brutalist design of the Xbox Series X. I think the solid black rectangle is gorgeous, and the PlayStation 5 looks like something you would buy at Toys R Us for under $10.
I don't know about Toys R Us. The PlayStation 5 doesn't really look like anything electronic.
It looks like an air humidifier.
As we keep saying, it looks like a sandwich.
Yes. No, it reminds me of a cheap. It looks cheap, like the wavy design, the white shell on the outside. It looks cheap. In fact, the Xbox Series S, the like cheaper version of the Xbox, is white, and you know, just a simple rectangle that's white. So yeah, I think, I don't know, white, I feel like white looks cheap.
I think if I were to identify the trend that the different companies follow with designing their consoles, Sony's consoles always seem to take inspiration from the design of vehicles.
Okay.
They always tend to take a sort of aerodynamic approach. Possibly not the PS2, but the PS3 definitely was all shiny chrome and curves like a motorbike. The PS4, not so much, but it is slanted in a way that suggests it is in the middle of a very high wind.
Yeah.
And this is like that taken to the nth degree. It definitely looks like you could model it's modeled after the aesthetics of a sports car.
It does. Or here in Milwaukee, actually, over at our Modern Art Museum, we have a giant architectural piece of art called the Calatrava, which is kind of designed after a sailboat mast and sail. And there's these giant things that like open up and undulate. In the video version, you can see me undulating my fingers. So it reminds me a lot of our Calatrava. But I prefer
Sydney
the
Opera House, perhaps.
Ooh, maybe that. But like, I prefer the PS4 with it. You know, it's just a box. It's got its one little slope there. It's beautiful and perfect. Simple. Yeah.
Also, faintly sandwichy looking at it.
If you cut the crust off.
Whereas the aesthetic that the Xbox has gone for over the years leans more, and increasingly, as I said during the main debate, in the area of gaming PCs.
Yes.
It's sort of these black industrial boxes,
which I love. And I
feel like they could be part of an ocean liner engine room.
Right, like a futuristic ocean liner engine room where there's no, like, you know, steam or gears. It's all just boxes of energy.
Yeah, yeah. The original Xbox was very VCR-y.
Oh my God, what an ugly thing the original Xbox was.
I guess the 360 was kind of the anomaly.
You know what, that's the weird thing, is the design, now that you say that, the design concept behind the PlayStation 5 is very 360-y, because the 360 also was like a white, curvy structure.
Hmm.
Right?
Well, the Xbox One went back to being VCR-y.
Right. Of course, being a
although
simple.
You could still, like, stack the Xbox 360.
It wasn't, is that true?
It wasn't that curvy. You could put things on top of it. Things, and they wouldn't just slide off like with the PS3.
Yeah, but it's...
You could put it on its side well enough.
And I prefer a console that stands up. That's why, I mean, I like, and both of the consoles, both the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 are meant to stand, and I like that.
Well, I guess that comes down to your personal living room arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like it to stand up. I personally have a console table that my TV is on top of that has a fairly narrow slit for inserting consoles and VCRs and the like.
Sure.
So they're all on their sides. But off to the right of my console table is my gaming PC, which is a big monolith in its own right that has to be to the right, separate from everything.
And
it's hard to think of where an Xbox Series X would fit in this whole arrangement, looking at it. It's sort of off to the side thing, sort of a Google Alexa kind of look.
It can lay down. From what I know of the Xbox Series X, it can lay down.
I can believe it, but...
I believe it's designed...
When I Google image search, every single image of the Series X is standing up.
It's just way cool. It looks way cooler than you get that green light on the top. Or just
It's very 2001, as I said.
Get a Series S. It'll still be very nice.
Oh, yes. Which is white, with that weird sort of... mixing desk thing on the top.
Yeah, it's white. It has like the speaker grill on it or whatever that is. And
white,
it's
white electronics.
Really...
White electronics do get very dirty though.
Yeah.
Especially stuff you hold with your hands a lot. That white PlayStation 5 controller is going to get very grimy.
Oh, that is really true. That's going to be the grossest.
I remember the old white Nintendo DS's.
Those
little while.
Mm-hmm.
Every single line of the console is marked with brown flecks.
Now, you know, I even like the look of the Series S. That's just, it's slim, it's compact, it's hidden, and I
it looks
dig
like
that.
A, it looks like a giant iPod. the old iPods.
Where that, like, that thing is the scroll wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, but I dig the simplicity of
like it's like a box for a Soviet brutalist cereal.
Yes, eat your communist flakes. They
eat
are
your
full
black
of
circles.
Fiber.
Black fiber circles for the masses.
Yes. They are filled with daily nutrition. Does not matter for taste. I'm just looking up images of the PlayStation 5 now, and yeah, you know, like. The PlayStation 5 to me resembles like the cool kid who popped his collar and is standing with his back to the wind and just like brooding. This is a brooding console.
That's always been Sony's image. I mean, that's why Sony won the fifth generation of consoles, because they were deliberately marketing it as something that the cool kids use, the skater boys. Is that kid who stands leaning on his locker and just sort of goes to the girls as they pass by.
That's exactly what the 5 is. Just pop your collar. You guys coming to the party? You know what party. Let's go.
Whereas the Xbox has sort of fostered more the jock side of things. Just the big round-shouldered football player standing in the corner with a face like this. And just has that face all day until someone stands next to them when he punches them out of the way.
You're in my way.
you're in my way. You know what objectively just looks ugly, though, as I'm looking at all these pictures?
You.
Well, you know, I don't. Some days I feel better about my looks than other days. But the.
Sorry, that was very childish.
That's all right. The disc version of the PlayStation 5.
Well, who's getting the bloody disc versions of any of these, honestly?
It looks super gross. You know, like it completely ruins that vase aesthetic of the PlayStation 5, where it's just like, bump. It's the badonkadonk of the PlayStations.
That big old slit that's messing up the whole line of the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, yeah, it looks like the headlight on a sports car, just on the side, except it's the headlight part is black. So what's that slit supposed to be? That slit is like, aesthetically, it's like putting a little bumper sticker just on your sports car that says...
That says, my other car is a sand wedge. I don't know. I assume someone who has a sports car golfs a lot.
My other car is also a Porsche. One of those bumper stickers that complete twats have. And you look at it and you go, well, that was an impressive car, but it's clearly being driven by a complete ponce.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the slit on the Xbox Series X disc version looks like it belongs there, you know? It's like the door in a giant forbidding temple to capitalism.
You know, you have to like knock in a certain way and wave your wand, say the elvish word, and the door seamlessly slides open. It's beautiful. I think like from a pure design perspective, and this is obviously very, very subjective, but I just dig this Xbox lineup. I'm not going to get one.
No, obviously not.
Right. Like, why would you get an Xbox if you already have a PC? But they look beautiful. They just look beautiful.
If that's important to you. What is it with those holes in the top of the Xbox? Is that just for, like, cooling?
Yeah, oh, it's got to be just venting.
Well, it could... I'm just picturing, like, eating crisps as I admire my new console. And all the crisp crumbs fall into the holes, never to be seen again. To mess up the electronics forever.
Well, why would you eat potato chips over your console in any sense?
Maybe I like potato chips. Maybe I like potato chips are just the thing to add the soupçon of satisfaction to the moment of unboxing the Xbox. Maybe I'm running an ASMR, simultaneous unboxing ASMR channel.
There you go.
Trying to cover all the bases. I'm going to unbox my Xbox while eating chips next to the mic.
I do wonder if the top is the intake for the air or where the air releases. I would assume...
Because if it's where the air releases, then your cat might sit on that. Your cat will want to sit on it and that will ruin all the cooling.
I'm Googling now, Xbox Series X air intake. Go! Fan intake blocking. Ooh, there's some controversy already.
Ooh.
Let's see here.
Controversy over what direction we want our air going?
Well, and if any of the internal components are blocking optimum airflow because they went for such a sleek, compact design.
It's not that compact. I mean, look at it. It's a brick.
It's compact compared to your gaming PC.
Oh, quite, yeah. It's compact for gaming PCs, as consoles are generally are. But this is a gaming PC, let's face it.
Oh, of course. Of course, of course, of course. It pulls. Hold on. Oh, that's an air intake fan.
It pulls
air into the system. Oh Lord, I'm in a thread here. Okay, so I believe it takes in air from the top. Is what I'm reading here.
Even worse for the crisp scenario.
Yes.
You know, I'm looking at one of these like images advertising the Xbox Series X,
mm-hmm.
and just reflecting on how what you actually say are the console's selling points doesn't mm-hmm. really seem to matter anymore. You can just write a load of sentences that just don't mean anything to most people.
Like what?
Well, let me just read these off.
Okay.
These are the five apparently most important features of the Xbox, important enough that it's up front and center on this Xbox advert. Okay, mm-hmm. Number one, 12 teraflops. I don't know what a teraflop is. I don't know what it affects. I don't know what it helps.
That's computing power. The higher the number, the better.
Is 12 high?
12 is high, I believe.
Okay. It doesn't seem high. It's not very many baked beans. If you were having beans on toast and there were only 12 baked beans on it, you'd say, that's a very disappointing beans on toast.
Sure, but if you had 12 cans of beans, you know, then you would have many, many beans.
Well, it's not exactly a week's dinners. Anyway, the next item on our list.
Yes.
Variable rate shading. Or possibly variable rate shading. I'm not sure what word you emphasize there. Variable rate shading. Ooh, well, if it's variable. Just been, like a sucker, I've been messing around with my fixed rate shading, but you've got variable rate shading. Well, welcome to the 21st century. Shading I sort of get in from a video game perspective.
Right.
That's a graphics thing.
Mm-hmm.
But variable rate, and variables is a part of coding, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And a rate, I don't know.
My guess is that for optimal gameplay smoothness, they change up how much shading they give everything to make sure that you are receiving always the optimal amount of power.
Oh, I'm sure there's some desperately boring person composing a comment even as we speak, explaining what all of these mean. Okay, third item.
Yes.
Hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing.
Ooh, okay. That's important.
I have a vague notion that ray tracing is a graphic thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's where it sort of traces where a line goes from the perspective of the camera.
A line specifically of light. So ray tracing is a way to more accurately light a scene and therefore be more immersive. And so a ray traced scene looks better because all the light isn't better. And so what does this do ray tracing wise?
This is hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing.
Ooh, okay. So that's great.
So there's some dedicated part of the hardware specifically for ray tracing?
And instead of bottlenecking the CPU with ray tracing, it probably directs a lot of the ray tracing to the GPU, which would be nice. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess you know what that means.
Because this is probably oversimplifying, but I believe if it was software-enabled ray tracing, that would be very CPU-heavy, as that handles most of the software load, but it's offloading it to the hardware, the GPU.
Okay.
That's what I'm assuming. All right, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Next one, I guess I understand what it means. I just don't understand why it's... let's just read it out. Mm-hmm. Quick resume for multiple games.
Yes.
Quick resume for multiple games.
Yeah.
Now, would I be right in saying that most consoles have that these days? You can go to the menu, go into power saving mode,
mm-hmm.
and then you can turn the console back on and then go straight back into where you were in the game.
Yes, but this does it for multiple games.
Okay, so multiple games at the same time.
Right.
Well, that's what you're assuming it means. Maybe this is a Weasley thing.
No,
maybe
I've seen
it's saying there's quick resume for all the games that exist, but just one at a time.
No. It is I've seen it in action. People have been showing it off, where, you know, you can stop a game, get out of the game, go into the menus, go into a chat, whatever, then hop right back into the game, stop the game, go into a separate game, go back into the first game, just jump all around. It's pretty neat. It's really cool.
How you can like keep apps running in the background of your phone.
Exactly.
Switch between them, whatever.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Well, that's not a great selling point for me, because maybe I'm just a decisive person who just wants to play one thing at a time without shilly-shallying all over the place. I mean, that's how I play games. I like to play it for 3 hours and completely immerse myself.
Of course.
If I have to, like, alt-tab out to chat to some wanker in Jamaica or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it upsets me when consoles keep pushing the social media stuff, because that's not what I'm interested in when I'm trying to immerse myself in.
Right. Don't you want to stop this gameplay experience so you can tweet about it? Hashtag thisnewgame.com?
No.
Oh.
Because that does not benefit me. It only benefits the corporation.
That's very true.
All right. Last item.
Yes.
Slightly baffling.
Mm-hmm.
It just says smart delivery, which could mean any legion of things. Are they saying the people who will bring it to your house in a box mm-hmm. are very intelligent?
They're very clever people, yes.
They had to pass an IQ test before they would be allowed to deliver the box to your house.
I understand what smart delivery is, but yes, just to say smart delivery is really bad salesmanship right there.
Well, help me out here. In this context, what does smart delivery mean?
Smart delivery is purchasing a game you could buy a game on the Windows Store and have it digitally delivered to your Xbox.
Right.
That sort of thing. You can, or with Game Pass kind of thing, you know, you can play your game where you want it to go and tell it where you want it to go. I believe that's what smart delivery is. And
right.
Someone might be correcting me right now, so I'm Googling it. Smart delivery games list. Let's see here.
It just means you can buy it on your PC and then go to your Xbox and play it on there.
Right. Let's see here.
So it's like how Amazon delivers ebooks to my phone after I buy them.
That's right. So smart delivery. It's simple. Buy your Xbox game once for versions of Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Series X, with platform holders blurring the lines into the next hardware milestone. One license provides access on current devices with a free upgrade to Series X and Series S. So you could buy a game right now for the Xbox One and have it free upgrade to the S/X, but it's only on certain games.
Of course. Got to have that little asterisk, don't you?
Well, it's a nice large list of games. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Marvel Avengers, Borderlands 3.
All the big boys.
Cyberpunk, Dead by Daylight, Dirt 5, games I haven't heard of, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5.
What about the struggling arty indies? People with love in their hearts.
No love for the love. I'm sorry.
For the sake of balance, I also found an image, a bullshit image of the PlayStation 5 hardware features.
All right, let's go.
Which also has hardware-based ray tracing looking at it.
I'm a bit of a tech head. I pay attention to tech news. Ray tracing is basically like the video game version of HD or HDR, or is like What's the latest like gimmick trend in movies that I'm trying to think of? Like 3D.
Don't think it's had one in a while.
You know, like ray tracing is the new big gimmick word that just, it just means like games will look better if we have ray tracing in them. So yeah, they're pushing that hard across all platforms, consoles, PCs, everything.
Okay. Well, the rest of PS5's feature list, fairly standard and understandable. It's got Ultra HD Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 3D audio sound.
Right, they're special. We're going to map your earlobe sound.
I'd rather you didn't. I'd like to keep you out of my earlobes.
Never. Sony. We're getting right in there.
It's also got ultra high speed SSD,
mm-hmm.
which stands for solid state drive. I know that much.
Hey, you did it. You did it.
Because I have one in my PC.
It's very nice. It's very, very nice. And, you know, very
similar. Great for installing games on, but it's pretty nice.
Very similarly with Xbox's, you know, quick return, having a nice, solid state drive in your gaming console. Only good.
And our last feature, slightly more baffling, haptics stroke adaptive triggers. Now, I have a vague sense that haptics is related to rumble in some way.
Yes.
That's all I got.
I believe haptics is the new rumble, right?
Possibly. Maybe I'll just look it up.
Haptic feedback, right?
Yeah.
I can only assume.
The use of technology that stimulates the senses of touch and motion, especially to reproduce in remote operation or computer simulation, the sensations that will be felt by a user interacting directly with physical objects. So, right. Rumble.
It's the new rumble.
But what about this adaptive triggers business?
Adaptive trigger. Do you also have one of these very nice, it's right in front of me, Xbox Elite controllers?
Can't say I do.
Oh, this is the best controller ever invented. It has this really neat thing here. And for anyone watching the video, you can see this now. These triggers on the back, they can have a full press, you know, like a long throw, or you can change it so they have a short throw. Long throw, short throw. And it's really nice because some games, like, you can actually use that long throw to, like, you know, rev up a car or whatever and like drive at different speeds. But sometimes you just want to press a button and it does the button, and that way you don't have to press your finger as hard.
I see. Yes.
And it's really, really nice.
Because some games benefit, as you say, from the long throw.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were doing something that you could do put variable amounts of strength into it. Like pulling on the string of a bow, for example.
Exactly. And then you can
have a slow draw.
Exactly. But if, you know, like if you're just playing Rocket League and you want to, you know, break and go faster, then you have the short throw, and it's very, very nice. I don't know if they're going to have a little manual clicker like on this one, or if they're saying like the controller, like maybe it's a software thing and it will go, it will
automatically change it.
Ooh, that would be weird if you were playing a game and then it changed it to short throw. That would really throw you. That would throw you off.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
A good way to fuck with you, though, if it was like a horror game.
Yeah.
All the buttons just lock out. Kind of weird they put adaptive triggers and haptics together in that case.
Yeah, that could be fun.
All right. But, so
by the way, this entire time, while we've been talking, I've been doing a really fantastic job of multitasking, and I've been like half reading articles about which way the fan blows on the Xbox Series S or Series X. And I have yet to find a definitive answer for whether that is it's an intake on the top or it's the exhaust fan on the top. And it's really like,
they don't want you to know, because it's actually an insidious device for mincing fingers.
I really, really wonder. Which way? Because, and you know, like I've been reading a lot of back and forth where someone is like, well, heat naturally rises, so wouldn't you want to take advantage of that and have the cooler air lower down suck up. And some people are saying that's negligible. You want the fan to suck in the air. It's all a big back and forth.
This is all a load of technical talking about technology.
I love tech talk. I love talking about technology.
Can I list the 5 features that are most important to me in a console?
Ooh, please, Yahtzee, I will stop multitasking now and pay attention to only you. What are the 5 features that you think are most important in a console?
Well, having good games.
Mm-hmm.
Having nice games, having mm-hmm. games that are fun to play,
mm-hmm.
Having games that are interesting, having games that provoke some kind of fucking emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh, and 6, it doesn't explode.
That's actually pretty, that's relatively far down on your list.
So I guess this was the satire at the heart of this week's episode, that of course it doesn't fucking matter what the consoles look like.
No, of course.
It doesn't fucking matter if it's got adaptive triggers and hardware-based Blu-ray, ultra-high-speed, whatever the other things were.
Uh-huh,
quick resume, smart delivery, hardware-accelerated rate shading teraflops.
Uh-huh.
All I care about is playing fun games.
Whilst,
not the same bland swill as always.
Whilst I can agree with you that without the games, these consoles are useless, I think that, you know, looking specifically at your Xbox lineup, and for me specifically at that cheaper Series S, which is still a very nice console, the way that Microsoft is handling Game Pass, their digital delivery system, making sure that you are able to play really high quality games on a relatively small device, I think that's really neat. And I'm excited for stuff like that. I'm excited that they're making nice looking games more accessible to people.
Well,
that's my hot take.
Let's look at some all important launch titles, shall we?
Oh no.
Where are we? 2020 in video games, November.
Rhyme.
Right. November 10th, where like 9 billion Xbox Series X games come out. A whole bunch of shit that's on everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could have played somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Something called Enlisted. Oh, that's an exclusive.
Oh,
it's upcoming. Upcoming squad-based, massively multiplayer online game reconstructing World War II battles. Sounds dreadfully dull.
Is that an exclusive to Xbox or just to the Microsoft ecosystem?
It is a timed Xbox Series X/S launch title.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
But of course, it's on PC as well, because every Xbox game is also on PC.
Of course. That's like... For you and I who have gaming PCs, getting an Xbox is very, very silly. Though with something like Game Pass, depending on like what the prices of the Series S turns into, like I've been considering like a Series S like to put in the living room for the like so the kids have something to game on, you know, that sort of thing.
I suppose it does have the advantage of having like guaranteed hardware that you know will work.
Yeah.
Whereas the PC is a little floatier in that regard.
Well, and, you know, if I buy a game or if I have Game Pass, I could play a game here on my nice gaming PC. I could then save it and go downstairs and play it on my big TV. And that could be a really nice situation. Though... the PlayStation 5, I would still want that Blu-ray player because that's what I use my PlayStation 5 for now. It's my Blu-ray player.
physical media is on the way out.
Oh, I have a lot of Blu-rays that I still want to play. I still want the ability to play all my nice Blu-rays. And so, you know, that's what I'm looking at right now is maybe a PS5 that'll float with me. And a Series S that can be a hub in the main living room.
All right. Well, let's look at the PS5. What's being advertised that's coming out on November 12th.
Again,
a whole bunch of stuff you can play on other things right now.
Right, but they got Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Miles Spider-Man is how he prefers to be acknowledged.
Ah, but that's PS4 as well.
Is it PS4 as well?
It is.
In fact,
it's coming out on the PlayStation 4 before it comes out on the PlayStation 5.
Wait, is that really true?
Yep, I'm looking at its Wikipedia page right now.
I did not hear about that. Whoops-a-doops.
Oh, hang on, I might have misread that. Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. In North America, it is coming out... North America and Oceania, for some reason.
Okay.
It's coming out on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 simultaneously on November 12th. But the rest of the world doesn't get it on PlayStation 5 till November 19th.
Oh. Hmm.
So might as well just stick with the PS4 if you want to play Spider-Man Miles Morales so bad.
And I do. I do. Did you see the Into the Spider-Verse outfit that you can wear? It looks great. It looks so great.
I'm worried that the reflections in my glasses are disguising my sarcastically rolled eyes, so I'll do it as exaggeratedly as possible.
Well, and for our audio podcast listeners, if you could like have some sort of heavy sigh so they know what you're doing. Perfect.
Oh, the Demon's Souls remake, that's PS5 only.
Ooh, okay.
Yep. Didn't they? It was coming out of
so far.
PC eventually? I guess not. It says here, PlayStation 5 launch title.
Yeah, there were some rumors. Like, there was the Demon's Souls remake is coming to PC and Demon's Souls remake is coming to PS4 rumors, and I believe both of those have been squashed.
Well, I suppose that means I need to get a PS5 then.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Because I'm all about that Demon's Souls remake.
Absolutely. So, yes,
that's
you
not selling point, though. That's just holding a game hostage.
Yes. Yes, it is. And if you want to be a cool kid, Yahtzee, and talk about the game while it's still hot, you got to get it now. Why didn't you pre-order? Why didn't you pre-order? Why didn't you prove your loyalty to Sony so you could pre-order?
Suppose I should have played it when I owned a PS3, shouldn't I?
Probably.
But I hadn't had my Dark Souls epiphany at the time.
I was going to say, and also remember, no one played it.
I just played Demon's Souls when it came out and said, this is too hard and obnoxious.
Right.
And a few years later, I finally got into Dark Souls and went, wait, come back, Demon's Souls. I want to reassess.
I love you now. I love you now. Yeah, no one played it. I mean, even Dark Souls was a cult hit.
It was a sleeper hit.
Yeah.
It got pretty big popularity after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a PS5 exclusive called Astro's Playroom, which is noteworthy. Because it's going to be loaded onto every PlayStation 5 console without needing to download it.
Oh.
Although only thing we know about it going by the Wikipedia page.
No, Astro is like the little like mascot, right?
Yeah. Apparently mascots live on in one small area.
Right. And I think it's very similar to something like a Wii Sports, where it's just like a series of mini little games, I believe.
It says it's a 3D platformer. It's a sequel to Astro Bot Rescue Mission.
Oh, well, then I am completely wrong.
Which was a PlayStation VR game. Man, this is going all over the place all of a sudden.
We have to revive this franchise that three people played.
Yeah, I remember the Playroom. That was like a PlayStation VR thing for showing off PlayStation VR. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is a non-VR thing now?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Hey.
Does the PlayStation 5 have a VR headset planned for it?
Ooh, I know you as a VR enthusiast, this might be important to you.
PlayStation 5 VR. Our first news story, Sony is letting PSVR owners down in the transition to PS5.
Yep. There you go. That's all you need to know. Wah, wah, wah.
Although this says that the original PSVR will work on the PS5.
Oh.
I'm confused. Tell me things, internet.
Do you own a PSVR?
You know, professionals would probably have researched all this before we started recording the podcast.
This is podcast. Podcast is loosey. Loosey goosey. That's how it works. That's what people are here for. They're here for casual conversation. And this is how casual conversation works.
Now, this is an article from uploadvr.com, which is the website by VR enthusiasts for VR enthusiasts, I assume.
Ooh, okay.
Which says that PSVR stuff will run on the PS5, but in a bare-bones and obtrusive kind of way, similar to the rest of the PS4 limited backwards compatibility stuff.
Oh, sure. Is this important to you? Do you own a PSVR?
I do, but I never use it
because
I got a Valve Index now.
Right.
I did review the PSVR when it came out.
Hmm.
And it's not bad as VR headsets go.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Valve Index is better, though.
Sure, I don't.
Massively more expensive, but better. But you know, you're getting what you pay for.
Girl, I'm with you. I'm with you. So yeah, is that it? Is that all the stuff we can mine?
I think
from
that's all
the new consoles.
That's as much content as we're going to get out of this subject, considering neither of us have had a chance to use either of the new console.
Agreed. But I'm interested for when more people in general, not just us, just when the general population gets their hands on these things. I'm interested to see.
Yes, all things become clear in the fullness of time.
Mm.
I mean, it took quite a few years for the Wii U to finally make it onto the Wikipedia list for notoriously bad and failed consoles.
I still got my Wii U. The kids play their Lego games on it.
That's all it's good for.
It really is. It's a piece of junk.
Yeah.
Well. All right. Well, great. Well, hey, thanks everyone for watching and or listening to this. We very much appreciate that. If you came across this podcast, it's based off of our Slightly Civil War episode, which looks better, the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X. And you can watch that over on escapistmagazine.com.
You sure can. Remember to get a YouTube membership with the Escapist, and you can see all the videos a week ahead of when they come out on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could get an Escapist Plus membership and be able to watch the videos on the site without ads, as well as other benefits.
So nice. So nice. Including other benefits like Ask the Creators, our video series where you get to ask us questions and hear us answer them in very long-winded formats.
But the real benefit is the satisfaction of knowing that you've helped support the site and allowed us to keep making the content we like making and you like viewing.
Boom, baby. Thanks. Bye.
I was Yahtzee Croshaw, and that was Jack Packard.
It's true. We were saluting you for those just listening
Twitter.
To this. We were saluting.
Here's Pepper Cam.
Oh,
he's behind there somewhere.
Pepper has buried himself more.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah.
Pepper. Oi. Oi.
I was going to say, Cookie popped up earlier.
Yeah, you.
How? Yahtzee, like, there's literally saying you are supposed to let sleeping dogs lie. Fuck.
Now he's properly behind the cushion.
All right, bye everyone. All right, I'm stopping recording.
I've had enough of that. Bye everyone.